production.
Welcome to Taking On Sports, y'all. I am TD. That is Greg. Greg, how you doing this week?
I am good. How are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good. How's your new year so far?
So far, so good. Yeah. I'm just enjoying a chill day at home, watch some NFL games as we round out the end of the regular season here. But how's yours?
Pretty good. Same thing. I've never been a big New Year's Eve guy going out wise, so I always enjoy chilling at home.
Yeah.
Watching football, or, you know, maybe if we have some friends over, that's fine by me, but
right.
Avoid that craziness. but yeah, speaking of football, last night, we'll get into it. We have been asking for 8 years now to get us some good playoff games, college football, and boy, did we get two yesterday. Both of them just outstanding. Where you want to start? Which one you want to start with, Greg?
Yeah, I guess we could just start with, we'll start with the I guess we'll start with the early one and end with the late one. Start with that TCU and TCU Michigan game, and that game just wild the way TCU just jumped out, pick six to start the game, and then it just got that early lead there and held on there. Michigan the second half really turned things around there, and TCU kind of did the opposite of what they normally do. Normally they're down and hit a comeback, and did the exact opposite yesterday. And they held on for dear life, and on to California.
It was an absolute wild game, like you mentioned. TCU, usually the cardiac kids themselves, they jumped out at one point, had a 19 point lead. 21.
Yeah, they were up 21-3 at one point.
Mm-hmm. And then 41-22 at another point. And Michigan, to their credit, stormed back, and they brought it down late. But TCU held on. Just like we said, they had, two pick sixes in that game? And a bunch of big plays from that receiver's name. I also get Tomlinson.
Johnston.
Is that it? Yeah. Either way, you're going to know him because he's going to be drafted in the first round this year.
Go first round. I mean, he acquired a heck of a talent.
Mm-hmm.
What I said a couple weeks ago, in both semifinals, I think the teams had retired here in the first straight month that they were going to – there was no way Michigan and Georgia weren't going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then, heard that, and man. Yeah, but TCU, we're also hearing that, that they're the little guys, and Michigan's going to just out physical them all game. And I mean, they went toe to toe with Michigan like no other.
Well, yeah. And they absolutely stepped up and just said, we're not getting pushed around. Everyone thought, like you mentioned, everyone thought Michigan was going to come in there with their big boys and just push TCU around, who's more of a finesse team. But TCU held their own, had a bunch of big plays on their own, just all game. I mean, it was insane. Just big play, both sides, big play.
Well, and then, Michigan, I mean, that comeback was crazy because, they were down, 20, almost 18-21, and then you blink and McNamara scores two touchdowns in, no time at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it went from Duggan had that one-yard run to put TC up 41-22 with under a minute left in the third quarter, and then less than a minute into the fourth quarter, Michigan already brought it within three.
Yeah.
And then that's when Johnston had that 76-yard pass where he got loose from that defender and just trucked it down the sidelines. TCU added a field goal after that. Michigan scored yet another touchdown but could not get that final one. That controversial, as some people say, maybe that
The targeting
at the end. I didn't know the rule. I didn't know you could just review it for targeting. I thought you had to have a flag first and then review it.
I don't know. But, I in that situation, I hate to see that targeting. Because, mm-hmm. I guess technically they could have called it there. But, just in that situation, obviously no one's trying to – It was definitely when the head shot or anything crazy. I mean, they were just playing football there. So I thought it was a good no call. You know, I hate to see that kind of in the game, kind of like in an Arkansas Kansas game that targeted at the end of that one. I thought overall it was a good no call. I thought, you know, it's just football players playing football, nothing dirty, nothing malicious there. So.
Yeah, it's one of those tough ones where the offense player gets spun around as, the, you know, when the guy's already started lunging at him.
It's hard to, you know, it's almost impossible to change your
momentum trajectory like that. Yeah. that's one thing. Yeah, that's always, you got to finesse and tweak that rule. Really, if you want to know, the big controversial call was earlier in the game. Michigan hit a deep pass. The receiver fell on his backside, appeared to fall in the end zone with it. They ruled him down at about the 1/2-inch line, and Michigan fumbled the next play. TCU recovers. Yeah. That would have made it, I think, like a 14-10 game at that point. TCU goes on up 21-3. If I'm a Michigan fan, that's where my gripe is. Now, granted, you keep giving up all these big plays, throw two pick sixes, right, you know, but.
But, yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, because you know, I was watching, but, you know, I was doing other stuff with the kids and, you know, getting ready for our little thing we do for New Year's with the kids and all. So I'm thinking, and then I walked out the room because for sure I saw that play. So I go, well, that's a touchdown. I go do something, come back and teach you how to bar or something. Mm-hmm. And I hear fumble. I'm like, fumble? What? TC fumbled the kick? You know, come back. I'm like, oh, wow. I couldn't believe that that wasn't a touchdown. But
it was insane, yeah. But just an absolute barn burner game. TCU earned it after that, you know, after they poured their heart out in the Big 12 title game and lost to Kansas State. They came back when people weren't really giving them a shot, and they said, we have earned our way to Los Angeles to go play for a national title. Sonny Dykes, first-year coach there at TCU, yeah. No, Cal fans got to be kicking themselves. Their administration fired him a couple seasons ago.
It just shows you different situations and different times in your life. It just works out way differently because mm-hmm. He had some tough years at Cal there. Didn't quite go as expected, but, you know, I think he probably learned a lot from that and, you know, has him well along his way. You know, he had some good years at SMU there. And that's another thing, you know, SMU-TCU kind of rivalry. And now he takes, you know, SMU from a formidable team, goes across the DFW, and now in the playoffs. So.
Yeah, maybe not as high profile as it was back in the Southwest Conference days. But, you know, that stings SMU fans right there for him to go to the crosstown rival and not only just have success, but just lead him to a national title in his first year.
First year. A team that hadn't been to the national championship since the 30s.
But, yeah, the Hypno Toad strikes again, and they will go on to face the defending champion, Georgia Bulldogs, who pulled out a comeback win over Ohio State. Another just outstanding game in the nightcap. Another one where the two teams just kind of traded haymakers. Just big plays. Ohio State jumped out early. Georgia came back. Ohio State kind of built up a little lead. Georgia kept coming back, took the lead late. And then the worst try at a game-winning kick I've ever seen.
That was horrible.
Horrible. Feel bad for the kid, but man, that was.
But I thought it was a lot wrong with that. After that run. Because, you know, they run, got them in pretty good. I mean, they didn't try to get to the middle of the field or anything. No,
they did him no favors. They did that kid no favors.
And then the hold was pretty bad. But, but definitely one of the worst kicks I think I've ever seen. Granted, it was a 50-yarder, but it was so shanked.
It was about – it wouldn't have been good if you had – two goalposts, you know.
I don't know. That was just wild.
Teams just traded. Georgia owned the fourth quarter. You know, they went into it down 14.
Yeah, they and scored 8 fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. And they did it. You know, they earned that win. Stetson Bennett balled out.
That man is. I mean, I don't think he's going to have a long NFL career, but that man is definitely will never have to do another days of work in the state of Georgia. That man,
no, no,
he is a legend. I mean, just won the title last year, led the comeback in a cool clutch. I mean, you can't ask for much else. I mean, the times they looked absolutely dead, and just kept answering the bell. And the other momentum thing after Marvin Harrison Jr. kind of after he got hurt there. I mean, still they shouldn't have lost the lead like that. But that kind of changed the whole Ohio State offense. I mean, they kind of fell off after that.
Yeah, credit to C.J. Stroud, who really put that offense on his back and did everything he could. You mentioned now Marvin Harrison Jr., he's without his top two running backs. Just did everything he could. And like we said on that last drive, he had a couple of big plays himself, scrambles.
Scrambles and that long run that they had.
Mm-hmm.
For a second, I thought he was hitting I thought he was going to go for the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
He was. Yeah, he had quite the open field for him, but those Georgia defenders closed in pretty quickly.
Yeah, that speed there on that Georgia end. But, yeah, we mentioned that last series of play calling from Ryan Day. So they get that big scramble from Stroud to get within field goal range. And then he calls a first down run that goes nowhere, right into the line, but takes it out of Stroud's hands. And then two pass plays, but they go downfield, not even like quick little hitters or anything that would let their playmaker get in space or anything. No read option or anything for Stroud to try to make a play, nothing to get like maybe 10, 15 more yards to make it an easier field goal. Like you mentioned, they didn't move it to the center of the field.
They didn't do anything to help out the center at all.
Mm-hmm. Just another instance of a college coach playing for a field goal with a college kicker. Y'all should just stop doing that. Of all people that knew this, Les Miles knew that. he would have a chip shot field goal and still go for the end zone, and it worked out. But so Georgia goes on; they'll try to defend their title against TCU. Let's see if we got some early lines here.
They opened last night at 14, right after the game.
14, yeah, that's. I mean, talent wise, you would have to go. Yeah, okay, Georgia should be in this, but. We said the same thing about Michigan, and you just can't count out this TCU team, man.
They're different.
They're different. You know, Hacksaw Max Duggan back there leading them, man.
You got to think. I mean, this was a man. I mean, he's had an up-and-down career at TCU.
Mm-hmm.
Started the season after being a quarterback for a couple of seasons, and then not even a starter. Came into it again because the other kid got – the freshman got hurt it against Colorado, and now he's just coming to his own. I mean, he had some instances of greatness at times with his running abilities, but never consistent. He just finally all put it together this year and got the opportunity to do so after the other guy got hurt. And you have to wonder, if the injury doesn't happen in the Colorado game, does this TCU team even do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, one of them sliding doors moments.
He's the heart of that team this year. I mean, just craziness.
Oh, yeah, that one is Monday the 9th. So that will be a fun game to look forward to. Speaking of great quarterback performances, Iowa – no, just kidding. Iowa did beat Kentucky 21-0 on strength of two pick sixes themselves. But – last year's Heisman Trophy winner Bryce Young in Alabama rolled over Kansas State in the Sugar Bowl after a shaky start, went down 10-0 early, and then scored on five straight drives and kind of looked like those Alabama offenses we were accustomed to the past few seasons before one. Young finished 15-21, 321 yards, five touchdowns. Hell of a way to end his Alabama career, barring any shocking announcements that he's coming back. Saban did a great thing too. Took him off, let him play the first down of a series late, and then substituted him for Milroe. Let him get that standing ovation that he deserved.
For sure.
An
epic performance. Like you said, started off shaky there. A couple of miscues with Burton early there looked a little off there, but they quickly got it together, and after going down 10-0, was like, not today, Kansas State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, made a couple of just that throw to Brooks in the third quarter.
Oh my goodness!
Absolute perfect NFL throws. Absolutely shown why he might be the first pick in the draft. Yeah, we mentioned the slow start. Yeah, Deuce Vaughn, of course, he got his that 88-yard touchdown run, the longest run against Alabama in what, like, ever? 80 years? Something like that? Just
quite some time. They had over 100 yards there in the first quarter rush. Something that, you know, we know doesn't happen hardly ever. You know, that Vaughn, I mean, he's a special running back there.
Yeah, absolute talented guy. They were kind of killing Alabama, those short passes early. It took old Pete about four possessions to realize that, you know, there's a bunch of slow wide receivers. They're not really burning our guys deep. We can play press coverage. We didn't need to give them those 10, 15-yard cushions they were giving them.
Yeah, because Kurt Warner's kid was kicking our ass.
And we don't want no Iowa farm boy kicking our ass.
This dude couldn't even really cut it at Nebraska. Came to Kansas State as a walk-on. And really, they were talking about during the game, it was there because the coach knows Kurt Warner. But come on, I was thinking, my goodness, we're just letting this guy, they were burning us, him and that other big guy.
Yeah.
The most unassuming wide receivers ever. Mm-hmm. I was like, my goodness. But he got it together.
Yeah, after that, the defense really locked it down after that.
Shut down the game. Didn't give up too much more passing until, you know, late. Overall, you know, it was impressive because, you know, you never know how a team's going to come out. But after those first couple of drives, they were, you know, locked in. And it's good to see everybody that's going to, you know, Bryce and Will and everybody go out as a solid winner there.
Yeah, right. Sugar Bowl champs, you know, Alabama. Kind of that Sugar Bowl curse lately, playing in that game, and when it doesn't mean anything, the losses to Utah and Oklahoma in recent years. Good to see them win. Speaking of defensive guys, Brian Branch had the best game he's ever played in an Alabama uniform.
Yeah.
He must have been shown out for some scouts or something.
Yeah, I mean, he must have got, you know, he must have got a good grade, or someone gave him something because he was ready to go. Had a heck of a game.
Yeah, you wonder if that means that he might jump early if he gets a first, maybe second round grade, or if maybe if he doesn't get that first round, maybe he comes back. And if we see that Brian Branch all next season, that's a hell of a leader on the back end of that defense. So.
I think Jordan Battle's coming back too. I mean, he announced last night he was coming back.
So. Yeah, but yeah, great performance. It'll have Bama fans asking, you know, where that was all season, of course. Yeah, I even texting, I think, when my dad complimented That Latu touchdown in the second quarter, that play call by Bill O'Brien was a great little goal line play call, you know, ran him and motioned him inside like he was going to run block and then just hit him out in the flat, wide open.
And, you know, I think, you know, Latu, I mean, he's turning quite the tight end there. You know, he got his overall, you know, pretty sure hands. Almost became the most consistent receiver in a lot of situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll go under, overall probably underappreciated, but you think it has some solid performances for us this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Always good to have a big guy tight end like that too that can make plays. Kind of struggled to find one of those since O.J. Howard left, and we really didn't even use him as much as we could have,
except
against Clemson.
Right. When you got, what, two or three touchdowns there against Clemson. Mm-hmm.
But, so now it's the season. You kind of mentioned Alabama fans will be paying attention to who decides to leave and stay, if anybody else hits a transfer portal, what transfers we might bring in. Do we go with Milroe or, you know, one of the freshmen at quarterback? Do we go after one of these transfer portal quarterbacks?
You know, I think at some point we got to sit back and just let, especially the quarterback spot, let the folks that are in the program, you know, get a chance to be the guy there. Just because, you know, they're going to be there 2-3 years, have some consistency there instead of switching in and out every year. So I think I would like to see us go that route and have someone within already the program, you know, win at least a quarterback job.
Absolutely. And a lot of that, I'm sure, depends on who's going to be calling the offense next year. More reports that Bill O'Brien is in discussions to go to New England after the season and be an actual offensive coordinator for the Patriots, who don't have one. Which would be good news on, you know, for both ends. Alabama fans would be happy to see him go, and New England would get themselves someone with pro experience who had some success in the pros. You know, with he was on the staff when Tom Brady was there, had a decent seasons as a Texans coach. He was just, you know, not a good GM at all. Made some horrible trades there. But
being a head coach and a GM, I mean, it's hard enough being a head coach, but head coach and GM, and you know, at this point he'll be in the NFL just doing OC stuff if he goes back to New England. So yeah, that'll be very interesting to see what we do with that. You know, I'm just hoping whatever route we go, I would like a younger guy that has some just innovative and not just living off the talent that's in the program there.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch going forward is, you know, the coordinator position, obviously, the coaching staff in general, you know, is there going to be a big shakeup, you know? Is it just going to be on the offensive side? Is it going to be in defense? Is Golden's job safe? Did he save himself by playing a good, you know, coaching a good game yesterday? Or we'll see. Add on to that impressive recruiting class that we have signed so far.
Crazy good recruiting class. Of course, you know, on paper, it's amazing. It's just about developing what comes in and then also keeping what, you know, comes in with the NIL and transfer portal and everybody wanting to be the guy right away. You know, that's the juggle of college football these days, just keeping everybody that you can in the program there. So
mm-hmm.
I'd be interested. But, you know, Nick Saban, where they really outdid themselves on the recruiting trail this year, you know, got after it there. You know, as all the talking about Bama being done and dead, and Nick being on the outs, and you know, Kirby being the best head coach in college football, and you know, the end of the Alabama dynasty, and Nick Saban, you know, still pulls that. I mean, that's impressive in itself, because we know the young folks are all about social media and hearing everything, so there are ears open to everything, and to still pull it off like that, that's quite impressive.
Indeed it is. Yeah, 7 5 stars for the Tide so far, especially on a couple of big ones on the defensive side of the ball. But like you said, it's about development. They're great high school players right now, but we'll see what happens once they get in to the system, go through the process, and we'll see if we can't turn them into maybe Alabama's back in the playoff next year in the last season of the 4-team playoff. We'll go. You mentioned that Liberty Bowl game with the controversial ending itself, Arkansas, Kansas. That game really kind of kickstarted a great bowl week. You know, before that, it was kind of a tame bowl season. You know, a couple of decent games, but nothing really exciting. And that game this past Wednesday just kicked it off. It did, yeah. There was that one later that night, that Oregon-North Carolina Holiday Bowl.
That was a fun one.
The next day on Thursday, we had three good games. You know, Minnesota-Syracuse, Florida State beat Oklahoma, Washington beat Texas. Friday, we had that outstanding Gator Bowl, Notre Dame over South Carolina.
Definitely a back and forth.
Mm-hmm. The Sun Bowl with Pitt and UCLA was a wild one.
Yeah.
Tennessee just bounced Clemson out of the Orange Bowl.
My goodness.
The orangest Orange Bowl of all time. Joe Milton showing off his cannon of an arm. I'm not sure if he going to be their guy next year? Does he have eligibility?
I think he does, but I don't know if he's going to be the guy or not, because they're really big on that. I can't think of his name right now, but they have that freshman coming in.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. I can't think of his name either. But, yeah, he certainly made, you know, a case for himself.
He's much improved from the time when he got benched at the start of last year. Because he was a starter in 21 until he got benched in that Pitt game.
Right.
Kept overthrowing everybody, and Hooker came in, won that game, and never looked back. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he does. I'm pretty sure Milton has one more year in him.
He was the quarterback in that infamous the Ole Miss game with the mustard throwing and all that. And I remember him throwing a Hail Mary in that game about 17 rows deep in the end zone stands. But, yeah, it's been a fun bowl season. We still got a few games left.
Few nice games.
This week we got Mississippi State and Illinois, Tulane and USC in the Cotton Bowl. Let's see, LSU Purdue. That might be a sneaky good one.
And is it Penn State and
Penn Utah State and Utah in the Rose Bowl? Yep, all those are tomorrow, or I guess today if you listen to this on Monday. and then, like we said, on the 9th, it'll be the national title game. So a fun end to what was a really fun college football season.
Wild season and bowl season. Lived up to that wildness, at least in the second week.
We'll move on to the pros. Some interesting results early on today with some teams locking up some playoff spots. The Giants locked up their first playoff berth in, 7-8 seasons?
Yeah.
Brian Daboll, former Alabama offense coordinator, doing a hell of a job there. Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones might get himself an extension, might be their quarterback after all.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they looked out, had a tough December. Took some L's there, but with other teams falling off, the Commanders definitely didn't help themselves today.
Lost to the Browns.
The Giants took advantage of that, got themselves in the playoffs. Yeah, and overall, quite the turnaround in year one there. I mean, what they've been the last since Coughlin, it's been some lean years there. Some ugly years, definitely has them in the right direction there. Able to make work with Danny Dimes. Saquon finally healthy for a majority of the season, which was key to them. And, it's just a matter of eventually just finding wide receivers that can stay healthy.
mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe getting themselves a good number one guy on that receiving core.
Exactly, because they've tried a lot of different things, and nothing has really worked for this team. So
no, they locked up their wild card, and I believe they will be the sixth seed there in the NFC. The Eagles on their NFC East mate again failed to lock up home field advantage in the division that's still open too. Lost today to the Saints, who are keeping their slim playoff hopes alive.
that hole's so funny.
Yeah, very slim. Let's see here. The Cowboys, they won Thursday night over the Titans, so they still, like we said, they still have a shot to steal the division.
They don't have a shot to steal the division, which is crazy considering after that Jacksonville loss, you thought for sure things were dead.
mm-hmm. Yeah, and just the way the Eagles were playing. But Jalen Hurts going out, and maybe, those two losses without him, maybe a case for his,
MVP for sure.
Exactly, yeah. Seems to be a lot of people seems that Mahomes already has it. Which, wouldn't be a horrible pick at all, but he's, got a great talent around him. But you see what's happening to that Philly offense without Hurts.
Everybody else is healthy. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely showed you just how much Jalen means to that offense and just what his abilities, not only as a passer, does. Because it's quite different with Gardner Minshew under center than Jalen Hurts.
The Vikings still have a shot. They are currently scoreless with the Packers. The Niners have a shot, but they're down 10-7 to Jarrett Stidham and the Las Vegas Raiders. Maybe the end of the Derek Carr era there.
Looking that way, because I mean, it's one thing to sit him for the rest of the season because it's over, but then they're basically like, don't come back to the building to throw off the team. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that's definitely the end of the.
Yeah, you're bad. Right. It's always one thing to be like, you know, let's get this, you know, we don't have a shot at the playoffs. Let's see what this young guy got. No, he's just, you know, when you see that Derek Carr stepping away from the team, it's like, oh, okay, then.
And don't come back because it's going to throw off the chemistry of the team. I'm like, oh, it's that bad right now in Las Vegas?
Right. And what does that do with Devontae Adams, who came there to play with his, you know, good friend?
With his college quarterback. Now he's probably thinking, shit, I got 4 years.
I know, right? Signed a big deal. Who's we might see a big trade with him this offseason.
Yeah, who knows? But, you know, just when you thought the Raiders were getting it together and man, quite the opposite. I mean, on paper, that team looked amazing going into the season. And, you know, if we know that their coach, you know, had his struggles there in Denver. And, you know, but we know he's an offensive guy and that he has the talent to do it. Obviously, he is not meant to be an NFL head coach.
I was about to say, yeah, Josh McDaniel just might be one of these guys. It's a great coordinator, but just not a head coach. Because whatever went wrong there, it went wrong this season. And like you said, that offense should have been one of the top in the league with Carr and Devontae Adams and Waller, Josh Jacobs. I mean, so much talent on that offense.
Yeah. So many struggles.
But yeah, see, that NFC playoff picture. So we mentioned the Eagles, they just need to win. They just need to win next week. And they will lock up home field advantage. They play the Giants. So, like we said, the Giants, their seed's already set. They're going to be the sixth seed. They'll be traveling to whoever the three seed is in the first round. So we're not sure if any there'll be what the rest situation will be for the Giants next week. But depending on the health of Jalen Hurts, do the Eagles try to rush him back to lock up that first seed in the bye and home field advantage, or – because that could quickly, you know, you lose that, and the Cowboys, that could quickly turn from, oh, well, we still get a home game to, no, you've got to go on the road in the first round.
Yeah, that could change a lot of stuff.
Now, granted, that would be against the NFC South champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who locked up their division today. But you never know. That could be – they could be one of those teams that, like, barely scrape through, and then, yeah.
Just because it's Tom Brady, just because of what he brings – mm-hmm. You know, Tampa, you just never know with them. They've been so up and down. But, I mean, that man Tom Brady still threw for 432 today.
Mm-hmm. Mike Evans, you know, his best game of the season by far.
Yeah.
Getting loose, getting deep again. It was just against the Panthers, so we'll see. But like we said, they locked up the NFC South. They will be the fourth seed. Mm-hmm. We're waiting on results of those Vikings and Niners games to see where they stand terms of the seeding. And then next week, let's see, the Packers are playing right now. We mentioned that. They're playing the Vikings. So that's a big game for both of them.
I think we're pretty much waiting to see who's get that last spot in the NFC, and then where the chips fall as far as everybody else is going.
Yeah, that's it. As of right now, the Lions have control of the seventh spot at 8-8. The Commanders did themselves, like you said, no favors today, losing to the Browns. They're now at 7-8-1. The Packers are 7-8. The Seahawks are 7-8, and the Saints are 7-9, still alive technically. Next week, we'll see what everybody's playing. Detroit goes to Green Bay, so that could be a really big one. Minnesota goes to Chicago. New Orleans hosts Carolina. Let's see, Washington hosts the Cowboys, and Seattle hosts the Rams. So we'll see what happens with these late afternoon games. The Seahawks currently up 10-3.
Yeah, I mean, that'll have some definite determinations as far as not only people who plays and different things, but, you know, how important that game is to those teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure at the same time, you know, if it's still open as far as the home field and everything, I'm sure all those games will be on at the same time, so people won't know what to do.
Yeah, this should be a fun finish in the NFC and in the AFC as well. There's still a battle for the top seed right now. The Chiefs and Bills both, the Chiefs at 13-3, they won, beat Denver earlier. The Bills play the Bengals tomorrow night on Monday Night Football.
Went into Cincinnati and they Bengals been red hot. Mm-hmm. So I mean,
no, it is in Cincinnati. Yeah, it is. Yeah, so that'll be a that one's big for that seed in for the AFC North as well. The Ravens and Steelers play a big one tonight in Baltimore Sunday night. The Steelers fighting for their playoff lives. The Ravens already have a spot clinched up, but they're fighting for the division crown.
Yeah, and the Steelers also trying to keep that above 500 streak going.
Oh, looks like Packers getting a defensive touchdown right now, or special teams. I don't really see what happened there.
Kick return. Oh. 7 yards deep.
Oh, big. Well, that's a big development there. That's somehow the –
You really don't see this much. People just don't even return kicks anymore.
Oh, no, yeah. There's arms out, let the ball bounce. Oh, yeah, he's about, good. 6-7 yards deep. Huh. Just right up the middle. Hey, you got no chance, Greg Joseph. No. So that's a big one there. Yeah, the Packers, after that struggle season they've had, somehow still have a shot.
Still getting it together. They seem like a whole – since the month of December, the Packers are a way different team.
But, yeah, we're back on the AFC. We mentioned, the Jaguars have now taken control of the AFC South. They're 8-8, and I do believe they play the Titans next week.
Yep.
We're 7-9 after their loss. Yep, they do in Jacksonville. So that one will be for the division, I believe, in the playoff spot. We mentioned the Ravens-Steelers, big one in Baltimore tonight. The Patriots beat the Dolphins earlier today, so they now have control of the seventh seed. And Dolphins just
Dolphins not make the playoffs at all.
Yeah, right. They have lost a lot. And another concussion for Tua. Oh yeah, Teddy got hurt. Tua got a concussion last week. Another one, and maybe why he played such a horrible fourth quarter. Teddy Bridgewater starts today. What? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Tua might need to hang it up after this season just because that's three concussions in one season. That's tough.
It's really rough. There's definitely going to have to be, someone's going to have to protect him from
himself.
Yeah. Himself. Yeah. Cause he's a competitor and he wants to get out there, but you can ask guys like Troy Aikman about that. No fun. And, it's horrible to see for a guy with so much potential like Tua had, but, they got to protect them. And
a new marriage. Just had a baby, it sounds like. Yeah, way too young to be in that situation already. Yeah. Unfortunately, long term, you might, no matter how tough it is, it's hard to step away from the game, as Tom Brady will tell you. You just have to let it go for the betterment of everything. But we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. So they sit 8-8 and they are on the outside looking in. New England holds the tiebreaker because of their division record at the moment. The Jets at 7-8 are still there. They are currently playing the Seahawks and losing, I believe. Yeah, 10-3 Seattle there. We mentioned the Steelers at 7-8. They have a shot still trying to keep their, like you said, their winning season streak alive, and their slim playoff hopes alive. And then the Titans will get their shot in Jacksonville. Other than that, it's seeding. Still a race for that number one seed. Still a race for, I guess, for the wild card seeding, with Baltimore, Los Angeles, maybe Cincinnati in there. If the Ravens can beat – the Ravens would – see, either way, actually, as long as the Ravens win tonight, it doesn't matter what Cincinnati does, because if they win next week, they will have the head-to-head advantage over Cincinnati. So we'll see a couple big primetime games tonight and tomorrow night. But as far as next week goes, for everyone involved there, New England travels to Buffalo, so that's a tough way to close out the season, trying to get a playoff spot. We mentioned Baltimore goes to Cincinnati. Who else is in it? Kansas City will go to the Raiders. The Dolphins and Jets will play in Miami. It'll be interesting to see if Tua, if they put him back out for that or if they shut him down. Pittsburgh will host the Browns, who all of a sudden are kind of plucky. They're not even really playing that great either. That's the thing.
No, they're not.
And
they're still looking bad.
But yeah, so should be a fun end of the season before we get into the playoffs here in the NFL. Got any other NFL football thoughts? Anything?
Just what we've been saying. You know, it's fun end to the season. A lot of questions still to be answered. A lot of spots to be determined. So, good end this week and next week. We'll see how it all shakes out.
Indeed. We will switch over to the NBA now, who, you know, this is about the time of year everyone starts really paying attention to the NBA, their big Christmas schedule, a bunch of great games. But the kind of story of this week is some young stars just absolutely balling out. We'll start with your guys. Luka, man.
My goodness. He just had just put together quite the week there. Of course, a big one. 61 there on Wednesday night in the Garden. Triple double.
Best triple double since like Wilt or something, right? Like, yeah,
just an epic performance. Not only that, but the big shot that sent it to overtime. And you know, then the response after that drops a 35-point triple double and then a 51 almost triple double last night against the Spurs. So, I mean, just the week that Luka's had has been crazy.
Absolutely. Putting the Mavs on his back, as always.
Yeah. Three wins in the week there. So, let's see. But, man, quite the week for him. But, you know, it's been a lot of young talent that's been really balling out there. I mean, your Pelicans are back first in the West again.
Yeah, I think they're a half game back of the Nuggets right now. But, yeah, after – you know, kind of a streaky season. They had a 7-game win streak, then they had a 4-game lose streak, but now they've won 3 in a row again. And Zion Williamson kind of announced himself this week. I mean, we already knew, obviously, who he was and the talent, but he had a career high game the other night, 43 points, scored the last 14 to win the game. Had another big game, was it last night or 2 nights ago against Philly, playing Embiid there. Of course, that was C.J. McCollum's game. Hit a franchise record, 11 threes, had like 42, 43 of his own points.
Yeah.
Najee Marshall is emerging as a kind of a spot starter and a great bench guy. He had a career high against the Pacers earlier in the week.
Yeah, definitely.
And this is all, you know, all this is without Brandon Ingram and Herb Jones. They're both still out. Brandon Ingram's got an ankle thing going on. So he's still trying to get back. And, you know, once they add Herb's defense and B.I.'s offense again, they've really kind of jumped up. They're a contender this year, at least for the West. You know, I don't know in a 7-game series against a team like Boston or Milwaukee, but.
Man, they're definitely a jump from just a playoff team to a definite contender with how things have looked. I mean, they're beating all the big boys and show that they can hang with everybody. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody stays healthy and everybody's hurt gets back. I mean, yeah, the Pelicans are a team to definitely watch as the season continues there and then into the second half for sure.
Yeah, we mentioned there now second place. Your Mavs have jumped up to fourth place on the strength of a 6-game winning streak. I believe they're the hottest team in the league. No, that'd be the Nets over in the East. I forgot about that. 11 games in a row.
11 straight. But, you know, that's a team you're like, well, it's about time, you guys.
Yeah, that's what you should have been doing for the past two seasons.
As talented as you guys have, yeah, you guys definitely, I mean, definitely should be doing this. But, yeah, you know, it's, you know, good to see that because, you know, that the Eastern Conference, you know, for the longest was known as, the East is the weak link. But now you can think about it, you know, if everybody goes into the playoffs healthy, I mean, you have the Celtics, the Bucks, the Nets. I mean, that's quite the
– the Cavs playing hot. Yeah, the Sixers with all that star power.
I mean, that's just – I mean, the playoffs on both conferences, it's going to be epic. It's just a matter of getting there and keeping everybody healthy. But, man, we are in for some great playoff basketball once we get to April.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's really only like a handful of teams that aren't really in any contention.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it. I mean, it's a lot of teams right there.
Yeah, and even in on any given night, they can kind of ruin someone's night. You know, a team like the Pistons, although they did lose Cade Cunningham, so that's a downer for that young team. But you know, even like teams like the Lakers kind of played well for a little while. They lost Anthony Davis, who, you know, hurt again. So
Healthy for those 10 games. He has put up numbers.
he was looking like that, you know, kind of that all world guy that we knew he always had potential to be and showed flashes of, but then he got hurt. But LeBron showing out on his birthday the other day, and
That's incredible. 38. That's what he's still doing. Yes, they're not winning games, but I mean, how many people have we seen fall off as they get to 40 and still dropping triple doubles? And not just triple doubles, I mean, big time number triple doubles. 41. I mean, just crazy numbers there. So.
Yeah, like key for them will be if he can stay healthy enough and they can stay just kind of hanging around. They're 2.5 out of a play-in spot right now behind the Jazz, who are still winning games and still playing tough. They have lost four in a row at the moment, but another team, they're ahead of another team that's collapsing, the T-Wolves.
That's a
That experiment does not seem to be working out.
no. Man, the bad thing is they went all in for that too.
Yeah, that's rough right there. So we'll see how that plays out. But then you got guys like the Thunder, you know, SGA having a good week.
That's a guy. He probably doesn't get near enough conversation, because that man, if you look at his stat line night tonight, that man picks up ridiculous numbers.
He does, and you know, with all their picks and stuff, you do wonder if he's a guy that might eventually want to play somewhere where he has a chance to play in the playoffs, or if he just decides to stick it out and try to put the Thunder on his back, or
You know, they you know, the way that they do things there, I mean, I think they're a team that we've seen them, you know, they've drafted well over the years. They put together, you know, they put together some talent. Even when, you know, a couple years ago, they brought in Chris Paul, and everybody thought, well, that's just a loss of a season. And they made the playoffs there and really took Houston to the brink of defeat there. So, I mean, it hasn't been the same since KD and Westbrook has left. But I mean, they're still, excuse me, considering the situation, they put a lot of effort into it. I mean, you can't take them lightly. They're not a team that folds. So.
No, yeah. We're not even mentioning teams like the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, finally healthy. You know, they're going to show out. You know, the Suns are still there. Grizz are still there.
The Nuggets.
Yeah, the Nuggets with Luke, or not Luka, sorry, the Joker, man. He gunning for a third straight MVP award.
Man.
They're just, you know, it's going to be fun back half of this season here in the NBA once football winds down. It's going to be really fun.
Right. And if you saw that dude, you would never think, oh, he's
No.
a dominant basketball player. If you didn't know anything about basketball and saw that man just going, you'd be like, what is he, security at a club or something?
Yeah, he's a door guy, maybe a pro wrestler, maybe, you
Right.
know. He looks like maybe a guy that should be playing on an outdoor court with a cigarette hanging out of his lip, you know, like that guy that shows up to the Y, your local court or whatever, and just kind of balls out on everyone with minimum effort. But it's a really fun time in the NBA right now. College basketball. Conference season starting up on that. Alabama got a good win over State on the road the other night.
That was a, you know, solid win there.
Good second half, strong second half.
Oh, second half, good ball movement. The threes were falling. But yikes, the Mississippi, I was, times it's been us with those free throw situations, but Mississippi State was so terrible at the line the other night.
It was embarrassing how bad they were.
About it.
I'm trying to look that
Like,
up
we
real quick.
played quite a lot, so I was happy we were on the other end of that.
Yeah, it was. I know at one point they were like 3 of 15 from the line. I don't know what it ended up here.
Think they were a little under 50 for the night. But it was a long night for them at the free throw line.
But yeah, that was a rough way to start, yeah, their conference season. Good, great if you're an Alabama fan. It's exactly what we want.
Hey, Ole Miss coming.
Ole Miss coming up on the 3rd. And then on the 7th, the big one, Kentucky coming to Tuscaloosa. And then on the road at Arkansas, who finally suffered their first loss to LSU the other night. But yeah, that should be it's not the same as it was. We've talked about that before. It's not, college isn't as exciting as it used to be, but still a
Yeah.
good time, and
Philip.
to be an Alabama fan at least.
For sure. That's the beauty of it though, yeah, because overall, I'm not watching as much college. Yesterday there were some decent games on, but I didn't, of course, with the playoff on, I really didn't even think about flipping, which is weird because, I mean, there was some decent ball on there, but yeah, just not the same. But yeah, definitely Alabama, I watch every game there, so one way or the other. But yes, yeah, it's a lot of fun so far this year. And if we this coming up week, we get some big wins, and yeah, could be a special team.
Yeah, absolutely. Those final numbers, State finished exactly 50%, 18 of 36 from the free throw line the other night, and a 11-point loss, that's big. But Alabama hit 12 of 32 on threes, so yeah, you want to see that number still jump up a little bit, but that's what you want. You want those threes to start dropping for the team. And Brandon Miller, another great game. Sears is really starting to come on.
And the thing I love about Miller, I mean, he has great court vision too, because some of those passes, whew. And just our inside guys too. I mean, they're playing well there on the middle, in the middle there.
But yes.
Just have to keep it going there. But I think this team is hungry. I mean, they show a certain effort every game. That I don't think we saw at times last year, which is very frustrating. So it seems to be a much more bought-in team. And another thing too, once we get Burnett back, I mean, that's going to be key to our defense there. So
Yeah, for sure. Be a fun
ooh,
January in
pick
sports coming
six.
up here. Oh, interception, Green Bay.
Yeah.
Intercepted it back after
To the house.
Aaron threw one. Yep, he's got a column boy. So two teams
Wow.
fighting hard for playoff seating
Green
and
Bay.
playoff spots there in Lambeau. You got anything else in the world of sports, Greg?
Not a whole lot, it's gonna be a fun end to a college football season, a fun end to the NFL regular season going into the playoffs. And we had a crazy playoffs last year. I would have to think, based on how some of this season has gone, we're in for another treat of a postseason there in the NFL.
Indeed, indeed. All right then, folks, and we will take it to how we always end. Greg, what has been done up real good for you this week?
I guess just seeing another year there, 2023. Just be, see, not really into all the, what I'm gonna, what I plan to do in 23, because a lot of times, you don't things don't go as planned there. But just a matter of, just enjoying it, appreciating it, and trying to get better at life. How about you?
Yeah, kind of the same. Just nice holiday. Got to see some family. Meeting the nephew, or excuse me, the niece for the first time. So that was
Nice.
good.
Sure.
Some family members starting getting to meet my son for the first time. Just kind of
Oh,
relaxing, and
yeah. Okay.
like you said, just taking it into a new year, and we'll see what it holds for us. Right now, just good sports on TV. Arsenal still winning for me over in England. They had a good start to their restarting the season after the World
All
Cup.
right.
So that's it. As far as everything else, what we got? We got pro wrestling, the Rumble, Royal Rumble season coming up. I'm sure the
Man.
boys over in the Alabama Slam Pod will talk a lot about that. I might even try to sneak my way on one episode for that. The Rumble has always been my favorite event of the year.
Man, Royal Rumble's always epic.
Yeah, I'm waiting for one to come close enough. I'd love to go to one in person at some point.
You would think that Atlanta would get a Royal Rumble at some point.
Yeah, I don't know if they've had one in the past or not, but you would think they'd get one soon at least. But we'll see. But folks, as we mentioned Alabama Slam Pod, Taking It Down is back. You know, I think there was a new episode of Check Your Shelf recently. Just all kinds of great podcasts on the Alabama Tech Network. And as always, you can go to our website, alabamatech.com. Read everything great going on there. Follow us on all the various Instagram social media accounts. Maybe one day I'll create one for this podcast. we'll see. But Greg, until next time, buddy, you have a good week.
You as well.
All right, thank y'all. Keep it done up real good out there.